The views expressed in the following podcast are not necessarily the views of the United States Air Force or the Air Force Reserve, but rather the perspectives of the individual speakers. No endorsement of any particular person, business, or interest is ever intended.
Ladies and gentlemen, airmen and friends of the Alamo Wing, welcome to episode 5 of Ready, Set, Airlift. I'm your host, Julian Hernandez, a member of the 433rd Airlift Wing Public Affairs team. Today, we wrap up our three-part conversation on innovation. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the last two parts before this one, we really recommend you go back and hear those first. Tech Sergeant Taylor Mogford, Major Paul Lentz are here continuing our conversation about transforming for the future at the Alamo Wing.
So I think we definitely, you know, zoomed all the way out and got the 30,000 foot view on innovation. I want to close it out on something more positive and bring it back to 433rd specifically. What are some projects around the wing that you think are exciting or could really bring some noticeable change?
Yeah, thanks for letting me cover that. So here's a couple of things that I probably didn't even talk about yet, but we will. And then I'd like to maybe end it with just an explanation of a few of these buzzwords just to kind of help our audience. And then we'll try to put it in the show notes to explain it because there's no way I could do it in the short amount of time. So one of our first projects that we started with is we had somebody pass out on the flight line. It's 105 degrees in San Antonio. It's really hot. Just walking to the airplane can be pretty difficult. And so staying out there for 8 hours is even worse. Well, I found a company that had made ice vests, which sounds ridiculous, but we tried using those back in IUD when I was there one time too. It's a little better now. They're just simple ice, what do you call them?
Oh, like ice packs?
Basically it's an ice pack, right? It's shaped like a plate carrier or shaped like an armored plate. You put water in it, you freeze it, you put it on your body, it will change your world. I was sitting outside one day and I just put it on. It was about a 100-degree day and I went from like angry to like, oh, okay, this is better. Like instant change in my attitude, my mood, and my ability to do things. Plus, I probably was a little bit safer because I wasn't overheating. And I wanted to go pass this out to all the students and some of the instructors. We ended up getting a couple of sets. And then finally, I gave it over to our 2T2s, which are the guys who drive forklifts and help load the airplanes and such. And they use them because some of their trucks don't have air conditioning in them and they're able to go out and do some work. I'd like to see that project expanded, but I haven't. We're working on it when we can. I have a young airman that came to me not too long ago, and she didn't really need me for any of this stuff, but she had an idea. And it was to take all these tools that we already have from the government using Office 365 and just improve a bunch of the processes. Emailing stuff to each other is archaic at this point. Like sending me a file that we could be working on in real time together via email just doesn't make sense. But the big problem is the training's probably not there, and the level of expertise probably isn't there for the common airman as is, because it came online and just happen to be there. But there's a lot of new tools with Office 365, like using Teams, which I used to hate Teams as well because it never would open and it just didn't work. And I just felt like the Air Force had figured out a way to mess up something, a great product. But now that I have a little more training on and a little better understanding, I'm like, I can sit there and edit some stuff at the same time as like 10 other people. And then we don't have to sit there and email each other back and forth. So she's working on a lot of those kind of processes. And really, senior airman and a CSS is trying to basically completely change the way FSS and CSS does a lot of their processes. And I think that'll scale to the execs and to a lot of other things just to make life easier and more simplified for everybody. And I hope it works. I didn't talk much about this, which is good because to me, innovation is not virtual reality. That is the world I'm currently living in as my largest project right now. We are currently trying to completely change the way C5 training is done. And one of the big tools is virtuality. And it may be the right tool for a lot of the jobs, and it may be the wrong tool for some jobs. So we do try to look at that. But to go out and operate airplanes on the flight line costs millions of dollars a year. And then you have to wait for an instructor, and you have to wait for an airplane, and maintenance has to get it ready, and all these other things. So doing simple practice and getting repetitions as you try to train is nearly impossible without a tool that helps you out somewhere else. So we've had some companies build us virtual C5s. They exist. I think we're already around $10 million worth of assets that are now available, and we're trying to figure out how to get those into the syllabi. The goal is to not only produce better quality students, but also to try to alleviate some of those restraints on the flight line. Like all that iron should be flying missions or training students, which is one of our missions, not just sitting there so you can figure out how to open one of the doors one time. So stuff like that. One of the things about Mogford here is this guy is involved in so many things, and half of them I don't even know if I want to admit, I don't understand. Like he's off doing projects with wearables, and I think Space Force has done it, and he's kind of jumped on board to somebody here in the Air Force, and he's working on it. Just, hey, how do we get better fidelity on PT and stuff with our airmen, right? And looking into different wearables and like the watches and the Aura rings and all those kind of things.
I believe they just issued out about 1,000 smartwatches to first sergeants across the Air Force to help monitor their fitness. I haven't read on the broader implications of the project, but I know it's just occurred, right?
Yep. Yes. There's a couple of COIs out there, ironically, to stay on the same topic of what we're working on, right? Somehow, and again, this is just to put the message out there, like, it does not matter your rank. There's never been an easier time that you can go and craft a huge Air Force impact legacy. It's not just for chiefs and colonels, right? Like, you can do that as an airman. And let this be an exact example, because some of these, I don't even know how I got myself into them. But I'm on the half A5 and 7 human performance working group, right? We're going to literally build the white paper to drive what A3's requirements will be for the next 5-10 years for human performance. Because let's be honest, like, we live in an ecosystem where we're fit to test, not fit to fight. And that PT test, while it's more adaptable than it was, still has some room to mature, right? Given on where we live in. And it's well beyond just the tier 2 PT test for some of us. So, you know, I'm on this working group with half A5, A7, see how we could take care of the most complex weapon system we have in the Air Force, which is us, the airmen, right? I'm on half A4L, aka Tesseracts, kind of docket as an LNO, where I coach sprints. So I'm coaching a team out of Kadena and a team out of Cannon, one to better lift parts up where it puts strain on backs with a claw system. You can imagine the pain it is to get an engine out of any air system, right, or any airframe. And then you look at what the folks at Kadena are when you look at the, you know, multi-capable or mission-ready kind of airman kind of task set that we look at. And you look at things like my wife and I are rewatching Band of Brothers in the Pacific, and they run out of water. Like, those are still very real logistical problems we're going to have to figure out. We think we complain about parts now, like, wait till we can't hydrate. So we're looking at Power Pro and being able to have self-sufficient Power Pro, taking, if you've ever heard of Project Arcwater, and putting that on steroids so that we can power a small fob, right? Which is pretty freaking neat. So that, you know, if we do have a conflict, and at least we'll have water. So those are a couple of projects that I'm working on as well. We've got that QA mobile kind of thing, leveraging tablets in a different way to provide more commander flexibility. That's in stress testing right now, which I'll highlight. Like, we won that award off of pure concept. Like, this is how hungry the force is. Ideas are pretty important right now.
Speaking of ideas, like, and then some, I'll go with some resources. So we've said the word vision a few times, but probably I didn't explain what it is. Back when this all started, like I was saying, we were sitting there trying to text each other via Slack or whatever, trying to figure out who's doing what, what's where, and how do we try to streamline some of the stuff. And it's kind of funny to already try to streamline when you're just starting out. But the innovation space came up with vision. And there's another program called GAIN. They do very similar things. And I don't even know if I understand the nuances between the two, but they're both available. And you can, any airman could log in. And they all use the Platform One cloud kind of system, which is the same for Mattermost and some other systems out there. I think it's one of the best innovation efforts that have come from Big Air Force and from COVID and everything, giving us all finally the ability to work on our phones and tablets and stuff at home or just anywhere without having to go and sit at the office has been probably game changing. So vision is there and it exists on that Platform One, and it allows any person to kind of go in and say, all right, is anybody working on drones? Is anybody working on KC-10 boom covers or something like that? And sometimes you can go, hey man, I've tried that. And you can sit there and message the team and say, I've tried that, I've seen it, I've done it, or have you thought about this, or let's work on it together, let's get that kind of thing. And then it can give some of the higher Spark cells and headquarters a way to look at different projects that are going on and seeing, oh, Travis is doing this and Dover's doing that, maybe you guys could work together type of thing. So Vision and GAIN are two of those big giant systems. I also wanted to point out some other big projects out there. Hopefully you've heard of AFWorks, which started off in Austin. It's an office that is there to help everybody. It helps all the Spark cells out. It's got a lot of big projects like Orbital Prime, Agility Prime, several other things. They've pushed out, I think, over $1 billion in funding through different means and methods. We also have ArcWorks, which is based out of Tucson. So that's the AFWERX side there. There's a whole bunch of other ones that you'll see running around, SpaceWorks and such.
You've got different opportunities that allow us to grow our force more uniquely as well, given our constraints, right? As Guard and Reserve. I know my career field, career broadening opportunities don't really exist for Guard and Reserve. So much so they make sure that that's in the first volume of our 7-level CDCs, right? because they just had to for some reason. Couldn't wait for book three. Come on. But I'll say this. You've got things like Project Mercury out of Air University. You've got Defense Ventures as well. There's unique opportunities now to get career broadening and never have to leave your wing, which again, were almost the perfect use case on what it could look like if building an empire could be the right thing to do. Like, we've got all this knowledge that we can grow and keep, and that makes us really flexible for the future. And I think it adds a ton of value.
So the bottom line is, we're moving in the right direction for innovation. We have a long way to go, but the resources are out there and the avenues are open. And as we saw with the process towards the AFRIC award-winning improvement, it's all about finding the right people, right? So much more we could cover today, but I really appreciate you guys coming on the show, giving your perspective for our airmen who are trying to transform for the future and maybe wondering how they can apply this to their own space that they work in. So we'll go ahead and be posting a lot of the resources we went over in our show notes so that you can go over them in more detail. And then now airmen know you are two members in the wing that they can reach out to if they have an innovation need. So Tech Sergeant Mogford, Major Lentz, thank you so much for your time today on Ready, Set, Airlift. I really appreciate you joining me.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Now that we've completed our conversation on innovation, our next topic is going to be recruiting. You may have seen some recent reports about Air Force recruiting rebounding from a significant dip last year. We are sitting down with the Deputy Commander of the Air Force Recruiting Service, Brigadier General Lisa Craig, to discuss the state of recruiting, why it matters to all airmen, not just recruiters, and how all airmen can benefit from bringing new recruits to the service. Make sure you are subscribed to Ready, Set, Airlift on whichever podcast platform you use to listen to us. That way, you'll get notified anytime we drop a new episode. Please also consider checking out our social media pages on Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly Twitter. You can always find the latest info and news about the Alamo Wing there or on our website. Just search for 33rd Airlift Wing on your favorite search engine or on the social media sites we mentioned. That is all we have for you on this episode of Ready, Set, Airlift. We appreciate you joining us. Remember, we want to hear your thoughts about the show or ideas for future episodes. Drop us a line on social media or send us an email to airliftpodcast@gmail.com. That's airliftpodcast@gmail.com. I've been your host, Julian Hernandez. Until next time, stay safe and stay sharp.